All right, if you will, let's take our Bibles and open to Romans chapter 1. And we're going to start reading verse number 14 as we get started in our study. Romans 1 and verse 14. That last song that we just sang, I Want to Be Ready to Meet Him. It's a good song. I love the song anyway. But I wanted to play that before and to sing that before we got into our study today, because the song says, I want to be ready. And today we're going to talk about I am ready. Not just wanting to be ready, but actually being ready. Ready to serve the Lord and, of course, ready to be with Him in eternity. And so I thought that song would be a good kind of lead-in to our lesson. We've been looking at the I am statements, of course, of the New Testament, and we started with the I am statements of Jesus and His teaching about Himself and His nature and His deity and His character. And then, of course, we've talked about the I am statements of the Christian based upon who Jesus is, knowing His nature and His character. That determines who we are to be, who we must be as Christians. And so we've been talking about some of these statements. We're going to mention a few of them as we go through this morning, because some of them come right here from Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse number 14. We're going to focus in on Paul's statement, I am ready, and talk about that for our time together this morning. So let's read Romans 1 and verse 14. Paul says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So in this passage, there are three I am statements. There's I am debtor, and of course there's I am not ashamed, which we've talked about. And then there's the statement, I am ready. We're going to look at three things in connection with that statement that we get from Paul, not just from this passage, from some others as well. But Paul talking about the things that he was ready to do, ready to be as a Christian. And we need to think about those because we also are Christians, and we must be ready to serve just as the Apostle Paul was and just as he did. So in our previous lessons, we've talked about and we've seen Paul's relationship with the gospel. And we've looked carefully about how he conducted himself, about how he understood himself in connection to the gospel of Christ. He was in debt to preach it. He was persuaded to live and to teach it. He was pure because he preached it. And he was crucified to every other doctrine except it, except the gospel of Christ. And because of all of those things, Paul says, I am ready. I am ready to preach. Paul was ready to preach the gospel to those who were at Rome because he understood his relationship to the gospel as a Christian. And in his case, of course, especially as an apostle. So he was ready to preach. Number one, because he had a debt to preach. And we read that in verse 14. He said, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And of course, we studied a lesson on that concerning that idea, I am debtor. And we talked about our debt to Christ, what Jesus did for us, how he suffered and died on the cross, paid the price for our sins. And because he did that for us, we owe him everything. We owe him our lives, and we devote ourselves to serving him. And part of that is proclaiming the gospel, teaching those who are lost. We also learned that Paul had a debt to the world, as do we. And he says here, I am debtor to the Greeks and the barbarians, the wise and the unwise. It doesn't matter who men are, what their background is, where they come from, or anything like that. Paul said he had a debt to them. He was indebted to preach to them. Because Jesus died for them, not just for Paul, but for the whole world. And so everyone needs to hear the gospel. And it's our duty and our responsibility to go and to preach. So Paul says, I am ready to preach the gospel, number one, because of his debt. Number two, he was ready to preach because of his desire. Paul had a desire to preach the gospel. Notice what he said in verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Think about that. He says, as much as in me is. Literally, what that says is, thus, according to me, the affair is ready. Paul literally says, as far as I'm concerned, according to me, everything is ready. Everything is good to go. Let's preach. Let's go and do it. Brother McGarvey in his commentary says this way about that statement. He says, moved by a desire to pay this debt, he was ready, so far as the direction of his affairs lay in his own power of choice, to preach to the Romans. So Paul says, if it's up to me, whatever I can do according to my desire and my wish and my goals and my plans, I'm ready to preach in Rome. Now, Paul understood that his life was not just his own and not just in his own hands. God was in control, and God wasn't yet ready for Paul to go to Rome. So he waited on the Lord, and he was patient. But he says, as far as I'm concerned, I'm ready. I'm ready to do this. Let's go and let's preach here in Rome. So he was ready. He had a desire to preach. We need to have that same desire. We understand our debt. Now we need to desire to tell the lost about Christ and about the salvation found through the gospel. We need to desire to preach so that as soon as the opportunity presents itself, we're ready to go and to do what God wants us to do. So Paul was ready to preach, number one, because he had a debt, number two, because he had a desire, and number three, because he had a doctrine. And that doctrine, of course, is verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, when we looked at that statement, I am not ashamed, we looked at it in the context of Paul's other I am statement, I am persuaded. Paul was persuaded of the truth of the gospel, and therefore he was not ashamed of it, not confounded by it, and not afraid to teach it and to preach it. So he was persuaded of the truth of the gospel. He was convinced of the saving power of the gospel of Christ. And so he was not ashamed of it, not ashamed to live it in his own life, and not ashamed to preach it and to teach it to others. Now, we need to learn a lesson about this, and that is when we understand that Paul was ready to preach because he had a doctrine to preach, that means, of course, that Paul first had to know the doctrine. He had to know what the Word of God was. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16 tells us that Paul says that he had the mind of Christ. And of course, that has to do with the fact that he was an inspired apostle. And we understand that. Paul received it by revelation. But at the same time, before he could preach it, he had to know it. It had to be revealed to him. Over in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 14, he says, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. So again, we see Paul's willingness and his readiness to go and to preach because he knew the truth that this congregation needed. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, the Bible talks about we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And again, that was a statement about inspiration, that God's word was revealed to Paul and the other apostles. So they had it by inspiration miraculously, and you and I don't today, but we still can have the mind of Christ. We still can have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's just for us, it's in a book. It's in the Bible, in the New Testament, the gospel. It's not given to us miraculously as it was them. They received it and wrote it down. But the point is that in order for Paul to preach this doctrine, he had to know it. And in order for you and for me to preach the gospel, we have to know the gospel. So we can have the mind of Christ as long as we study the word of Christ. It reveals to us the mind of Jesus. Ephesians 6 and verse 15 tells us to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And you think of a Roman soldier with his sandals and the laces that came up the calves of his legs to hold them tightly to him. There were nails on the soles of those, like cleats in modern day sports, in order to give him a solid, firm foundation. And that's the picture that Paul is painting for us, to be prepared with the gospel, to have that firm foundation that we stand on. If we know it, then we can not only defend ourselves from the enemy, from the devil, protect ourselves from his attacks, but we'll be ready to teach it to others. So Paul said, I am ready to preach the gospel. I'm a Christian just like Paul was. He was ready. Am I ready? Am I ready to preach the gospel? We need to be, because that's our duty. And not just a duty, but the wonderful privilege that God has given us to be able to tell the lost the way of salvation. And God has revealed it to us in his word, and what a wonderful opportunity we have to help others find the way to salvation. So Paul says, I am ready, number one, to preach the gospel. Number two, when Paul says, I am ready, we learn from him that he was ready to be bound for the gospel. I want us to go back to Acts chapter 21. We're going to look at two passages quickly in the book of Acts. First, chapter 21, beginning in verse number 10. And we're going to notice what Paul says about being a prisoner for the Lord. So Acts 21, starting in verse number 10, Paul says, and as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went up to Jerusalem. So you notice what Paul says there. I am ready to be bound. He says, I'm ready not to be bound only, but even to die. If that's what's required, I'm ready to do that and to make that sacrifice. So Paul was not only ready to preach the gospel, which is important and essential, but he understood that when you preach the gospel, when you stand for what is right, when you teach the truth of God's word, there will be persecution. And sometimes that persecution may include being bound, imprisonment, or even being put to death for the cause of Christ. And he was ready to preach, and not just to preach, he was ready to be bound, to be arrested, to be imprisoned, even to be put to death for his preaching. Paul was ready to be persecuted. So he was willing, very literally, to give his life in the service of Christ. We need to recognize that, and we need to understand it, and we need to take it seriously. Even when Paul was certain that imprisonment awaited him in Jerusalem, he would not be dissuaded from going there. He wouldn't let anyone talk him out of it, because he had to do what the Lord wanted him to do. He did not allow his emotions to govern his thinking. He didn't allow fear to cause him to give up his faith. He didn't allow the threat of punishment to motivate him to stop being a Christian and living as a Christian and preaching and teaching as a Christian. He was ready to be imprisoned. He was ready even to be killed for the work of Christ. So he put his trust in God, and he went. He went to Jerusalem. And it's key. It's important to understand that the last verse we read says, and we went up to Jerusalem. Even though we knew what dangers were there, even though we knew the threats, even though we knew that there would be persecution and imprisonment, we went to Jerusalem. We did what we had to do because it was the right thing to do. And that's exactly what Paul means when he says, I am ready to be bound. Now, when we go over to chapter 28 of the book of Acts, we have a similar idea stated here. But I want us to read the passage beginning in verse 17 and notice again what Paul says. Acts 28, 17. And it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together. And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who, when they had examined me and would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me, but when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. Paul says the reason that he was suffering, the reason that he was being arrested, the reason that he was imprisoned was quite simply for preaching the gospel. You notice again that they had found no cause of death in Paul. They didn't find anything wrong. Even though he'd been accused and he'd been arrested, they couldn't find any crime against him. But he was forced to appeal to Caesar. And he says, again, not because he did anything wrong and not because he wanted to accuse his people, the Jews, of anything, but because he preached the gospel. He says, it's because of the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. Now, what is the hope of Israel? The hope of Israel is Jesus the Christ. He is the Messiah. And that's what Paul preached. This is the one that Israel has been waiting for. The Messiah has come. Jesus is the Savior of the world. And because he proclaimed that, and part of proclaiming that was to preach the resurrection of the dead, that Jesus was raised from the dead, the Jews hated him, wanted to stop him, and persecuted him by arresting him. They wanted to have him put to death. So the hope of Israel is the resurrection of the dead through Jesus Christ. That is the hope of Israel, by the way. We need to understand that the hope of Israel is not that, you know, to be restored to that land and to rebuild the temple and Jesus is going to come back and sit on a throne in Jerusalem and reign there. The hope of Israel is that the Messiah came and salvation is available through him. And that's why they persecuted Paul. If the message of the gospel was the restoration of the physical nation of Israel and the rebuilding of the temple and all of that, why on earth would they have persecuted Paul for preaching that? That's exactly what they wanted. See, the hope of Israel is Jesus. Salvation is available to all people today, Jew and Gentile, through Christ. He is the hope of the world. But Paul was imprisoned simply for preaching the gospel. In Colossians chapter 4, beginning in verse 2, he says this, continue in prayer, and watching the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul says, the mystery of Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah, preaching that is the reason that I am in bonds. Paul understood. The reason he was being persecuted was for preaching Jesus. But you know what? He didn't stop preaching Jesus. He didn't stop preaching the gospel, even though it had resulted in him being persecuted, him being arrested, him suffering terribly. He kept on preaching. So he explained that to the Jews in Rome, that he'd been imprisoned by their Jewish brethren in Jerusalem for the hope of Israel. And then he preached to the Jews and the Gentiles in Rome for 2 years, even while he was in chains, he asked the brethren in Colossae to pray that God would open doors of opportunity for him to preach. So even when he was being persecuted, even when he was suffering, even when he was in prison, Paul kept on preaching, and he asked his brethren to pray for him to have more opportunities to preach. Now, the point of all of this is that when Paul says, I am ready to preach and I am ready to be bound, he meant it. And he meant that he would preach no matter what, no matter what situation, no matter what obstacle, no matter what he had to face, he was going to tell people the truth of the gospel. Even while he was in prison, even while he was being persecuted, it didn't matter. Paul was ready. He was ready to give his freedom and even his life to preach the gospel of Christ. Now, what about you and me? Are we ready to do the same? We say that we're ready, and we claim that we're ready to preach, and we want to tell our friends and neighbors about the gospel, until there's backlash, until someone gets angry with us, until someone lashes out at us or says something to us maybe that we don't appreciate, or until there's a threat, or until we become excluded or ostracized, or we're made fun of, or, you know, in our world today, until we start to be canceled, right? But we still have to preach the gospel no matter what the world says, no matter what the world does. Are we ready to preach? That song we sang just a few moments ago says, I want to be ready. We do want to be ready. But the question is not, do you want to be ready? The question is, are you ready now to stand up for what is right and to teach and to preach the gospel of Christ? Paul was ready. He said, I am ready to preach. I am ready to be bound. And number three, Paul said, I am ready to be offered. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. The last epistle written by the Apostle Paul, as far as we know, of course, the last inspired epistle, just before he was put to death, again, for preaching the gospel of Christ. Throughout his life, Paul was ready to do whatever was necessary to be pleasing unto God. And because of that, when his life neared its end, Paul was ready to die. Here's what he says. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So Paul is coming to the end of his life. When he says, I am ready to be offered, that literally means I am already being offered. It's the idea of a drink offering under the Old Testament system. And when you made a drink offering, you poured it out at the altar. And so Paul says, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. So you can imagine maybe a pitcher of water, and you're pouring it. And, you know, the longer you pour, the less water there is in the pitcher, and you start to get to the end. Paul says, they've already started the pouring. My time is almost up. It's like an hourglass with the sand drifting away. Paul could see the end approaching, but he says, I am ready. I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready for death. Most of Paul's life truly could be viewed as a continual sacrifice to God. But now, in a special sense, he knows that the end is near, that he's giving himself as a sacrifice. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. The word for departure here is a Greek word from which we get the word analysis. It comes from a root word that means to unloose. In Philippians 1 and verse 23, for example, Paul said, having a desire to depart, That word depart is the same, having a desire to unloose, to be unloosed. It's like to unloose it like threads. It means sometimes to break up camp. When it's used in a nautical sense, it means to weigh anchor and put out to sea. So to depart is the idea. So the picture is of a ship ready to sail, and you lift the anchor so it's no longer holding you in place. And once that anchor is you know, lifted, then the boat can sail out into the sea. That's what Paul says is happening to him. The time of my departure is at hand. They're weighing anchor. They're bringing the anchor in, and now it's time to sail away. It's a beautiful picture of death for a Christian, that it's just taking a journey from one life to the next, from one existence into the next. But it shows us that Paul knew what was coming. The time of his departure was at hand. He was already being offered, but he was ready for it. He faced death with confidence and with assurance. Why? Because he knew his life. Number one, he had fought a good fight. He had fought that fight against Satan and against sin. And Paul wasn't perfect. He had made his mistakes in his life, and he'd been in the wrong many times, but he'd learned the gospel and learned about Jesus and the error of his ways, and he changed and he repented. He'd fought that fight. He'd fought that fight, the good fight, against himself. He even talked about bearing under his body and bringing it into subjection. Paul always kept a close watch on himself. He fought the good fight against false religion. He taught the truth of the gospel, and when people opposed that, Paul stood up for what was right and wouldn't allow people to change and twist and corrupt the gospel in his presence. He fought against wolves in sheep's clothing, those who were Christians who had begun to teach error. Paul stood up against those things as well. He had fought that good fight. He had devoted himself to standing for and preaching the truth and standing against error, defending the gospel against those who would teach and practice things that were not in harmony with it. He had fought a good fight. He had finished the course. He'd finished the course. That means that he did the work that God had chosen him to do. God had set a course of work before the Apostle Paul, and he did it, and he finished that course. It required great sacrifices on his part, but he stayed true to course, true to the path that God had set out for him. And just as we talked about earlier, when he said, "I am ready to preach the gospel at Rome as much as in me is," Paul was ready to go right then at that moment, but he didn't. He waited until the Lord was ready. He stayed on God's path, not on Paul's. So he walked the straight and narrow, and he finished the course. He did the work that he was supposed to do as a child of God, as a Christian, as an apostle of Christ. Jesus, when he was crucified, said, "It is finished. It is accomplished." He had done what God wanted him to do. And may it be the case when we come to the end of our time on earth that we can also say, "I have finished my course. I've done what God wanted me to do." And then Paul had kept the faith. He had held on to the gospel of Christ with all of his might. He had followed the will of Christ in everything. Even when it went completely against the way that he was living his life, he gave all of that up in order to follow Christ. And he held on to that faith unto the end. He was faithful unto death, as we read in Revelation 2 and verse 10. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." So Paul could face death with confidence and with assurance because he knew he had fought a good fight. He had finished his course. He had kept the faith. And he knew that God would be faithful to him and keep his promises. So he knew because of these things what he had done. Notice the way that he had lived his life was essential. He knew that there was a crown of righteousness awaiting him. There's laid up for me, there's in store for me a crown of righteousness. He says, "Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. God would give it to Paul because God was righteous, and Paul had lived by faith and faithfully had done the will of God, the will of Christ. And because Paul was faithful, of course, God is faithful to his promise, and he would reward Paul with that crown of life. But then notice what Paul says at the end. He says, "And not to me only, but to all them also who love his appearing." Even in his final words, even as Paul is already being offered as a sacrifice, already being poured out, even as the anchor is being taken up and the sails are beginning to be filled with wind to carry him away from this life into the next, in his final words, Paul is still preaching the gospel. He's still holding out hope that this is not just for me, this crown of righteousness, this confidence and assurance in death. It's for all those who love his appearing. He says it can be for you as well. You can have this same hope, this same confidence, this same assurance if you will do what I did. Hear and believe and obey the gospel of Christ and be faithful unto death. Even in his death, Paul held out the hope of the gospel. So Paul was ready to be offered. He was ready to die. That's the question we have to ask as well. What about me? Am I ready to die? If my time on earth were to end this very day, am I ready? Not I want to be ready when that day comes, but I am ready now. A couple of days ago was the anniversary of September 11th, 2001. And as we thought about that day, we think about those who, when they got up on that morning to go to work, had no idea that it was going to be their last day on the earth. In a moment of time, tragedy struck and thousands of people lost their lives on that day. Were they ready? That's the question. We don't know when our time will end. We don't know when sickness will strike. We don't know when an accident will take place. We don't know when the Lord will return. We can't live by the rule, I want to be ready. We need to be ready right now. Ready to preach the gospel, ready to suffer for it, ready to be bound if that's what's required, and ready to be offered. Ready to give our lives in service to Christ, and ready to die. And the only way really to be ready to die is if we've given our lives to Jesus and we've lived in harmony with his will and in service to him. What about you? Are you living that way? Are you ready to die? If not, I hope you'll think seriously about it. God's plan of salvation is so simple. Hear his word, believe in Jesus, repent of sin, confess the name of Christ, and be baptized for the remission of sins. Anyone can do that, following God's words. And when you do that, your sins will be forgiven. You'll be a child of God, raised to walk in newness of life with that hope of eternal life in heaven. You'll be ready to die. I hope you'll think seriously about it if you've done those things but haven't been faithful to the Lord, that you'll think about that also. Repent of sin if you need to and confess it and pray for forgiveness. We as brethren will pray with you and for you. Let us know and we'll help in any way that we can. We need to be ready like Paul, ready to live for the Lord and ready to die. And I hope that you are. We're going to sing a song together now to give us a moment to think about those things and to think about our life and our soul, and if there are changes that need to be made, to think about that as well. The song is In the Shelter of His Arms. We're going to sing that now, and then we will prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper.